welcome to Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and I'm going to talk to you about the Kingdom of God. And today we're going to talk a little bit about religious ideologies, how you know how to seek the kingdom and its righteousness. What does that look like? I've been talking to a number of people this last week that really don't like religion. They think the religion is a bad thing, that it's caused the death of millions of people, and it's kind of like firearms. Firearms don't kill people. People kill people. Religion doesn't kill people. People kill people. The Soviet Union killed over 20 million people during the war and before and after, in the Road of Bones and in their gulags. And they were absolutely against religion. They opposed religion. In truth, the Inquisition wasn't simply religion. It was one form of religion that was attacking another form of religion. And the form that it was attacking was generally pretty peaceful. Wouldn't even raise up arms. Some of the groups, the Cathars and the different groups, they would not raise up arms against these foes. They were stripped of their lands, stripped of their clothes even, and driven out into the snow. Their lands were confiscated by a group of religionists. But if you're going to start saying, oh, religion is bad, that's a blanket statement. It's a ridiculous statement. It's not specific. It's not, I mean, Jesus came preaching against one form of religion in favor of another. Now, people say, wow, but the Christians have done this. No. No Christians created the Crusades. No Christians burned anybody as a heretic at the stake. There were people posing as Christians, and they were burning people at the stake. They were gathering Crusades to go off and conquer lands. That wasn't Christians. That was somebody who was either deluded or in apostasy, or just an error, or just didn't really even care. They went for the loot anyway. It was the money, follow money. It wasn't Christianity. Now, yes, they used forms of religion, religious rhetoric, to justify in their own minds. But they weren't doing what Christ said. Christ said, seek righteousness, not self-justification, not self-righteousness. So those aren't Christians. So when somebody talks against Christianity or talks against religion, they're not being logical. They're not being reasonable. They're not being righteous. It's like, you know, somebody, maybe Jeffrey Dahmer had dark hair. Okay, so everybody with dark hair should be grouped together with Jeffrey Dahmer. No. That wouldn't be the case, and he might have been blonde. I really don't have it. It seems to me it had dark hair, but that could be, it was dishwater blonde. But the point is that you got to compare things. Yeah, it's just bigotry that you're dealing with. It's like saying all Jews are this, or all Catholics are that, or all Lutherans are this way. No, they're not. And so it's the seeds of bigotry that starts, you know, talking against religion. And another term you often hear, organized religion. Well, how is it organized? Is it organized from the bottom up? Is it organized like the Boy Scouts, you know, all volunteer? Or is it organized like Nimrod and Cain and the Canaanites and the Sodomites? How is it organized? So being organized, there's nothing wrong with being organized. It's how it's organized. Now, what I was talking about this morning on the Keys of the Kingdom, and then again on, or before that, on Blog Talk, Straight Talk on Blog Talk, is this idea of religious ideology. And I was going through a definition of religious ideology that, at least this concept of, you know, specific ideology is the study of an idea. But religious ideology can be defined as the body or doctrine, myth, belief, you know, because it has this concept of what you believe, etc., comma, that guides an individual, comma, social movement, comma, institution, comma, class, comma, or large group. And that's that doctrine or myth or belief that guides that group. That's its religious ideology. And they're talking about social movements and institutions, classes of people, large groups. It doesn't say necessarily a church. It doesn't even mention church in that definition. It goes on to a second definition, such a body of doctrine, myth, etc., with reference to some political and social plan as that of, and they give the example, fascism, along with the devices for putting it into operation. So that's religious ideology. And in reality, most of these people that are speaking against religion, often they're socialists, liberals. You don't find, you know, you'll find the fundamentalist Christians speaking against religions, but not their own. They'll speak against other people's religions, but they're not speaking against religion in general. So this idea of religion, though, and ideologies of religion, includes political and social plans. And this is why I say, one of the reasons why I say, Social Security is a religious institution. Because in the Bible, they talk about religion five times, and one time they talk about it in a good sense, they call it pure religion, is taking care of the widows and orphans of your society, the needy of your society, unspotted by the world. And they use the word world, constitutional order or system, government, specifically a word that means government, that comes from the word kamizo, which means to take care of. And the other part of this discussion this morning was on the idea that the Bible is about government. It's about good governments and bad governments, good ways to govern yourself as a system, a social movement, a political or social plan, and bad ways to do it. And it gives you parameters, such as the Ten Commandments, in which to do it. And there's ten commandments. Recently, a judge was saying, oh, you can't have the Ten Commandments because it's violation of church and state, and this kind of goofy rhetoric that's come along in the last 50 years about you can't mention God, you can't have manger scenes at Christmas, you can't even call it Christmas in some places, you have to call it holidays, which is ridiculous and absurd and prejudicial and religious. To say you can't say God because it's offensive is a belief. To make a rule that you can't say God or Christ or to have a manger scene up is a religious plan. You're saying, you know, those of you don't realize atheism is a religion. It's a belief system. It fits the definition of a religious ideology. In the religious ideology, just says doctrines, myths, beliefs. Atheist believes there isn't a God. That's his belief. And he has instituted a plan to get rid of anybody's influence of saying that they do believe it. So you see the actual religious oppositions forming that we saw in the Soviet Union. Anti-religion was a religion. It was their belief system. They believed in the myth that there wasn't a God. And they said that people who believed in God believed in a myth, but they believed in reality. The other half said, no, we believe in reality, you believe in myth. Now, there's somebody who was writing me, and I came in, as usual, about 60 seconds before I go on the air, last minute, zoomed in here, still got my hat on, still got my boots on, did get my hands washed. But I saw an email coming, and this is one of these people who, you know, oh, religion, oh, it's bad, it's killed me, the Bible is the bloodiest book ever. And the reality is he has a religious belief that you don't need the Bible, and that you don't need God. And I guess he even believes that there isn't a God. He never really actually said he was an atheist. But he goes, he had asked a question earlier in a post where he says, that this non-oppressive system, which I'm talking about the kingdom of God and how it works, it, you see, there's two governments. There's only two kinds of governments. Governments that are supported by free will offerings, where the power of government remains in the hands of the people, which is actually what the definition of a republic is. And so the ministers have no exercising authority except over stuff you choose to give them, but you never give them the right to choose for you to give the next time. The other government, you give them the right to compel offerings, force people to give, and they decide what they're going to give you back. Problem is that always starts out a small amount of power, but then that power grows and grows and grows because you've planted the seed of power by creating an office of power, and power looks for more power. You create only an office of service, in other words, you retain the power, retain your rights, then you have a different form of government and will have a different form of minister. The natural tendency of the sloth of man is to move, because of his sin nature, is to move towards that direction of, you guys do it for me, and I'll just reap the benefits. You guys go ahead and take from my neighbor to provide, make sure they contribute their fair share, and then I will be guaranteed my Social Security, my society safety, whatever you want to call it, my welfare. And so you give these men the power to exercise authority over your neighbor and over yourself, thinking that you'll come out ahead on the deal. But you never do. They always take more and more power, and you end up under a tyranny. And that's exactly what we've done again. The dog has returned to the vomit and the pig to his mire. So anyway, he goes on, and having explained that there's this, the Bible is pushing this free will offering system of self-government, where the power of deciding fact and law is in the hands of the individual people. They can form juries to try people that are actually violating specific rights. You have fundamental law, don't kill, don't steal, don't cheat. And, yeah, some people think that there's a lot of other things about keeping the Sabbath and stuff, but I haven't found hardly anybody who understands what keeping the Sabbath means. It really has to do with not going into debt, working 6 days, and then earning your rest and taking a rest. That's really what it's about. It's not about taking off a certain day, although that's a good idea health-wise, good advice. But that's another whole stuff. I mean, we have videos and audios on the Ten Commandments. But anyway, he goes, does this non-oppressive system meant that you do not wish to prove that those of who us, and he must have something miswritten here, who disagree with you stand as equal citizens in this free society? Well, I don't know what you want to call a free citizen. You're free. You're just a free inhabitant. You're not a citizen. A citizen usually denotes some sort of subjectness. So I don't have anything to do with you. You're free to go do whatever you want. But you have to do things within natural law. You can't just say, well, I'm going to move on your property. I'm going to pick vegetables out of your garden. I'm going to pick the apples off your tree. I'm going to sleep with your wife. Well, you can't do all those things. So you have to learn how to function without violating my rights, and I will function without violating your rights. You can't force me to contribute to your welfare. You can't force me to pay for your army. You know, they didn't have that in Israel for 400 years. Because when they decided to have a king, which is a rejection of that simple godly system, he was now able to institute a draft. He wasn't supposed to, but he did. mean, he was able to because you gave him power. You should have never done that, but you did. In my non-oppressive system, that is Christ's non-oppressive system, that is Moses' non-oppressive system, you can't draft me. I can't draft you. I can't rob you. I can't cheat from you. So, yeah, you're free to do whatever you want, but you can't come onto my land and claim eminent domain and all those kinds of things. You can't do it. He says that you do not wish to convert or even proselytize those of us who have expressed disinterest in your viewpoint. Well, of course I can proselytize. Of course I can convert. But I can only talk to you. I can't twist your arm. Are you saying I don't have freedom of speech? I can't speak. I can't mention the Bible. Who's the oppressive guy now? You see, that's what you see all the time. Is they say, oh, we don't want to be oppressed by religion, so you can't have a manger scene up in the town square. You can't write the word Christmas. You can't put up your Ten Commandments, even if you pay for it yourself and build the park yourself. Oh, we can't have that. You see, they're the religious bigots because their religion says you can't do that. All we were doing is expressing ourselves. They say, oh, no, you can't express yourself if you say God. You can't even sing, you know, in public places. Even if you're not disrupting. I mean, Norman, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, beautiful singing voices. Well, they wouldn't be allowed to sing Christmas carols in a public park. They wouldn't be allowed under their religion. They're the oppressive ones. That you are willing to work side by side with those of a different philosophy and that those differences will never affect the equal and individual rights of all people. Well, why would they affect? But work side by side? I may not want to work with you for a lot of other reasons. You know, I don't know, you may stink. You may be an unsafe worker. You may want to build something I don't want to build. If you want a hospital, do I have to build a hospital with you? Ah, now who's oppressive? You're going to force me to contribute to your hospital because 51% of the people voted to have a hospital? Well, who's oppressive? Now, somebody was pointing out that it's absolutely legal for two consenting adults to do anything they want in the privacy of their own house, even though it's unhealthy, it's dangerous, it's unsanitary, you know, talking about the homosexual community or whatever. You know, one guy with AIDS wants to go around a consenting adult. They can go do that. But I can't go buy a farm fresh egg from a farmer. I can't go buy whole milk from a farmer I know personally. Oh, that's terrible. You see, can you give me tickets if I don't wear a safety belt? You know, if I don't injure you, can you fine me? If I don't contribute to your war, can you put me in jail? My system, God's system, you can't even draft anybody. Anybody. You can't force them to contribute no matter how good your cause is. You cannot force them to do that. You cannot force them to work with you. They don't have to work with you. They absolutely don't have to. And as far as buying property, when you own it, you own it. If you actually pay for it, in my system, anybody can make more money. Anybody can coin money. It's not the job of the government because everybody's a part of the government. In his system, no, can't do that. In my system, you can have banks, you can have credit unions, and you can have friends, and you can have churches, and you can not go into them, or you can go into them. It's really very simple. Who's the oppressive one? I have no need to oppress you. It isn't Christianity that instituted the Inquisition. It's the apostate church who began to crown men over other men and said these men have the right to rule by God, that God has instituted government. Bull. Man instituted government, and every place you see him instituting government, at least those that exercise authority one over the other, it is called in the Bible a rejection of God, and he warns the oppression that will come. And a lot of the other things people read and nitpick about in the Bible, they say, oh, well, look at this. God says do this and God says do that. Well, we'll have to get into the translation and find out what he really said. But anyway, I answered his questions, but not the, evidently the way that he wanted to. I said that if the Bible comes from God, because he wanted to know where do your ideas come from, God or the Bible? Well, right there. And the question, he's limited it. Is it God or the Bible? Well, maybe it doesn't come from either one. Now, God and the Bible may agree, but it may not have come from either one. So it doesn't really make any difference, and I can't prove it come from God. I could quote the Bible and show you that many of the same things that I'm talking about are also in the Bible, but did it come from the Bible, or did I go back to the Bible after I come to this realization? Well, actually, I went back to the Bible after I come to this realization. Because when I was studying the Bible in the seminary, they weren't telling me the truth. They were telling me the lie that you guys are used to hearing. So anyway, the question was answered, if the Bible comes from God, then both would be true. One direct, one indirect, or secondhand. In other words, the Bible is secondhand information from God. If the Bible comes from God. And I didn't make any assumption. I just said if. I laid out that possibility. The truth is spiritual, and the Bible and our private interpretation is cardinal. The Bible is cardinal. Now, the authors may not have been cardinal. They may have been divinely inspired, but the Bible is physical, printed. There could be typos. There could be mistranslations. There could be certainly misinterpretations by the bucketful. So all that's cardinal. It says, I believe what I believe. I seek to live accordingly. Can you believe me? Should you believe me? That is your choice. You must decide. Should you follow me? And I answer, my dog follows me. You can walk with me or others like me or not. Again, it is your choice. Remember, I'm not an oppressive society. He's the oppressive society. He's the one that wants to force you to accept him, or I don't have to accept him. I can think he's a blooming idiot. You know, people say you can't prove that there's a God. You can't prove there's not a God. You can't prove anything. You know, Thomas Aquinas said, the only thing I can prove formally, specifically, is that I exist. I think, therefore I am. I may not be what I think I am, but I think, therefore I am. Something exists. But what exists? That's another question. I can't prove it. Oh, you can see it, but eyes can deceive. I can hear it, but ears can deceive. The mind interprets. But it's a safe assumption that if you're standing right in front of me and I reach out and touch you, and I could say, yeah, you exist. But then I could be dreaming, a dream within a dream. So you really can't prove it if you want to get strict down to what you can prove and can't prove. But I look out at nature, and I think it's obvious. You know, there's a God. There's a divine intelligence that was behind the creation of everything I see around me. And scientists now, when they're getting into cellular structure, the complexities and orchestrating of interaction on the minutest chemical level within the body, within one single human cell, within one single animal cell, is so complex. They say this is intelligent design. This didn't evolve over millions of years. And the uniformity of these things everywhere. And the adaptability of them. They're beginning to realize that genetic code may change in one single person as time goes on. If something changes in that person, the genetic code begins to line up differently. And, of course, I believe that's very possible. They once thought genetic code was permanent. You know, it's what you got when you were born, it's what you got when you're dead. And it's an old man. But no, it's not. It's altered. It changes. Because it's based on frequency. And how it fits together is based on frequency. And as you change, so shall your genetic code change. But so will your government change. The governments you have today in all the countries of the world are the result. They are the symptom of what's going on in your heart and in your mind. And if you want your governments to change, if you want the world around you to change, you must change inside. And you cannot change yourself for the good. You don't have the knowledge of good and evil to do that. You'll screw it up. But you can be changed. But you have to realize that you are not the creator of yourself. You didn't just evolve. There is something else, a higher intelligence out there that can guide you. But you must conform to it. It will not conform to you. And the Bible is talking about what that conformity looks like. And when we return to Freedomizer, a Sabbath hour, we'll take a look at what that looks like, what kind of religious ideology you should have in order to conform to the tree of life. So that I'll turn it over to you with that, Cheryl.
All right. Thank you very much. You're listening to Freedomizer Radio and the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory. After these brief messages, we'll be right back.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Okay, we're back. And the phone number to call in, 347-324-3704. If you're out there listening and have a question, just press number 1 to raise your hand, and we'll know that you want to talk to Brother Gregory. Well, there you go, sir.
Okay. We have a couple of announcements that I thought I'd throw out to your listeners. Is, of course, we have in the fall, the last week of September, first week of October, we have a gathering out here we call the Burning Bush Festival, which is a fall festival out here on the high desert. We got about 1,000 acres that we have access to meet on. It's got springs and artesian wells and fields and rocky buttes. And we're going to be gathering as many people as we can, and we got lots of room so we can fit a lot of people there. And if you want to come, they are starting to organize carpools and convoys to come out here. We will probably invite some of the general public. Eventually, we'll want to invite anybody who wants to come. And, of course, anybody who wants to come that's listening to this is perfectly welcome. Tomorrow, there will be a conference call with some of the organizers. If you want to get on that, you need to be on the network to find out when that conference call will take place, which is, I guess, 7 o'clock in the morning, which we'll be rounding up cows at that time. So you may hear cows in the background so before the conference call is over. But so if anybody wants to be a part of that, they can join with us on that. If you go to hisholychurch.org/calendar.php or any of our pages over there in the left sidebar, there's a under events, you can see calendar. I think that show will be listed in the calendar, at least it will be shortly after this broadcast. So if you want to tune into that, you can. I promised to talk to you a little bit more about what kind of religious ideology you need to have and what kind of religious ideology was Christ preaching and really all the prophets were preaching, because there are lots of religious ideologies out there. As I said, the Social Security system is a religious institution. It also includes, when you get your Social Security ID number, that's also your employer ID number. And that's why you're subject to most of the income tax that you're subject to. They also have money that you are to trust in, and God we trust. I'm not sure which God they trust in, but it's not real money. It's valueless notes. even the Federal Reserve says they're valueless notes, because that's pervasive and that's what you use to buy things with. We have gone from a society where it's about 30% of the people actually own their land to a society where nobody owns their land. And they're all back serfs in a feudal system where they don't own their labor, they don't own their land, they get married by permission, they travel by permission, they are back in worse bondage than even the bondage of Egypt, which was only a 20% of income tax. There were other taxes that began to creep in there. But and what people are going more and more to the socialist state. Somebody was being interviewed, Will Smith, I guess. Somebody was telling me that he was being interviewed by somebody in France. And France, the French announcer, interviewer, whatever, was asking him if, because he makes quite a bit of money, and he says, do you mind paying your taxes? And he says, no, I don't mind paying my taxes. He says, not college graduate, don't come from a well